Okay, this is Wednesday, 7/20/22, and the title of this is The God of Hope. God of Hope. Our God's a God of Hope. This is Romans 5:13. It has to be 15 because I put down 5 and it's not that. So let's see here. Sometimes I just type it fast and don't get it down. Yeah, it's 13. 15, 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Strong's there, it means to anticipate, usually with pleasure, expectation, or confidence. There's a lot of things going on in our world right now. There's a lot of things, if you're looking at what's really going or what you see in the natural, there's probably a lot of people don't have a lot of hope right now. They're scared. They don't know what to do. And these are Christians even. I mean, they're people, if they don't know the truth about things, they're going to think that their whole world's about to come fall apart, about to lose their pensions, about to lose everything that they worked all their life for. People that are invested in the stock market and don't know what's going on, they're fixing to, you thought the 1920 or whenever it was in the 20s, the crash was something. You know why people were jumping out of buildings, killing themselves? Because everything they'd worked hard for, they thought their life was over. There was just no hope. I was thinking of a couple of people, and I said, Lord, I wish I could have been of some service. I wish I could have been of some help. One in particular, she was a lady that when we were young, I went to women's meetings, and she was the head of that women's meeting, and all the young women in the church looked to her, very strong in the Lord. She was a widow. Me in my 20s, she was probably already in her past her 50s, probably 60s, maybe, 60s, I'd say. And then here back about 2001, I think, I saw her one day, and she was one of these that was really warm-hearted and always had a smile on her face and those kind of things. And I saw this woman, and I thought, it was like she didn't hardly know who I was, and she just looked at me, and she just was... It wasn't the person I knew. And it wasn't long after that, she shot herself in the head. And it didn't kill her. She lingered in the hospital for days, I think, and finally she did pass away. But she'd started having some issues, and she got on Prozac and some things, and that's what they attributed, what caused her to lose hope and get to the place that she was in. And I've thought about that many times. She was so, such a fulfilled where the older women teach the younger women. That's what she did. I even lived next door to her daughter for a long time. So, I think about people like that and somebody we know in our family that I remember her saying one day, I just need somebody to help me. And whatever it was, she never did get the help she needed, I guess. It just caused her to go to bed and never get up. I'm thinking, Lord, I wished I had understood what I know today, where I could have maybe helped or cut or done something to help people. But see, that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. It's not about getting things, money, more this, more that, and all of that. It's about giving people hope because people are out of hope. They're at the end of their ropes, probably now more than any other time in history. And so, if anything, That's what I believe that we're to portray. The Lord used me for many, many years, you know, with a hairdresser or whatever. Had me in contact. People that I, when I was doing collectibles and the shop that I was in, the owner of the of that consignment shop, she was had a little girl, had epilepsy. It was terrible what she was going through. Well, I began to share with her God's medicine, gave her a book, and she started praying for her daughter, and her daughter absolutely come out of that. See, it gave her hope. She was about to give up hope. She didn't know what to do. It brought her along. This lady that does my nails, her son got killed back in December. And she told me, she said, I'm so glad you showed me the way. Now she has hope where she wouldn't have had hope before if no one had shared with her about a God that loves us and that He's the God of hope, that we're not going to run out of hope because He is the God of hope. No matter what kind of situation you find yourself in, there's always hope. We're going to look at Abraham a little bit where he said he hoped against hope, that he'd be the father of many nations. He didn't consider Sarah's dead womb. But he considered what God said and what God had promised. And God does not go back on His promises, not ever. So that's the hope that we have, and that's the hope that we share. Okay, all right, I'm going to look at a few more scriptures here. 1 Peter 5. It's not Obi-Wan Kenobi I'm looking for today. You know, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're our only hope. No, God is our only hope. This is 1 Peter 5, 6. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. See these two ladies I talked about. They got where they were because of care. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. See, I thought this lady was so strong in her faith, and she was. But evidently, you know, something happened along the way. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. See, we're looking to Him to bring us through, not to get discouraged, not to lose hope. Like I said, He's the author and the finisher of this deal. Because we've decided to lay aside our lives and do what He wants us to do. And whatever we experience on that journey, He knows about it and He knows what you're going through. And He does not leave us as orphans. He said, I'm not going to leave you hopeless. He said, I'll come to you. Let me see if I didn't write that down, but I want to look at that because this is over in John. This is when Jesus was trying to tell His disciples, I got to go, but I'm going to send you a comforter. He'll be with you. He won't leave you. All right. Okay. All right. 26 talks about the Comforter. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. That's not exactly, but that's...
It starts in verse 15.
15 of 15 or 14? If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So, enough of that. Here are some antonyms for hope. For loss of hope. Right here. Despair. Hopelessness. Doubt. Fear. Disbelief. Distrust. Abandon, dislike, hate, hatred, reality, pessimism, fact, discouragement, disbelief, forsake, truth, no, dread, presume, presumption, impossibility, despair of. These are all the things that cause us to become hopeless. Okay. All right. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. See, all these things can wear on us and cause us to despair. I was thinking about something today. You know, they talk about all the stolen books of the Bible. Well, there's a scripture in Revelation, if I can find it. Where, when I heard that, it just gave me hope. Right here. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So he knew the devil being the devil and him messing with things, that there'd be a penalty if they touched it, if they messed with it. A little consolation, maybe? All right? All right. With this lady I was talking about, I remember someone that I knew, a close friend of mine, was going through a hard time, and so she... For 3 days, she was married and her husband had left her. And for 3 days, she stayed with this lady, and this lady ministered to her. And she said, I find one fault in this lady. She took the load of care on her. It's like she couldn't roll the care off. She took the care into herself. Care is a snare. See, we have to roll that care on the Lord. That's what I just read to you. Because he is seeking whom, the devil is seeking whom that he can devour. And how does that happen? Care. Whatever. I read to you all the different ways that care comes in. Hopelessness and despair. All right. But this was what I thought was cool because I just taught on love. Love. This is 1 Corinthians 13:7. It says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. I thought, that's cool. Hopeth all things, endureth all things. God's love. God's love in us. God's love for us. In us. Okay. Brother Hagin was a bulldog in some areas. He knew a woman minister that was bedridden. She was in her 80s already. She had cancer of the stomach. And he'd come over there and talk to her and say, Sister, She said, Brother Hagin, just leave me alone. Let me alone. Let me die. Just let me go on. He said, no, ma'am, I'm not going to do it. The woman had come into the Pentecostal walk as a young woman because she was healed. So that's what's kind of started everything off for her. He just kept coming, and then one day he prayed for her, and I guess he quit going. But then he was at a meeting somewhere, and this lady came up to him and hugged him, and he just jumped back like, what in the world are you doing? He looked at her, and she said, you don't know who I am, are you? And she goes, I'm that lady. I'm Sister so-and-so. He said, then we had a big old time. I grabbed her and started hugging her. She said, I got to listen to what you said. I wasn't going to, you know, like, I wasn't going to let the devil take me out. I wasn't going to let it work. And she said, I just started speaking the word. And she said her stomach was huge. She started speaking the word, and her stomach began to shrink. And over time, all that stuff disappeared. And for the rest of her days, in her 80s, advanced age, she was off everywhere preaching and teaching the word. So somebody cared enough to make sure she had hope. Hope. Hope right here. Hopeth all things. Love hopeth all things. Yeah. Isn't that what the gospel's all about? Isn't it about making people better? Isn't that what Jesus did? Luke 4. That was what he was all about. After he came out of his hard temptation in the wilderness, he went to the synagogue and he spoke this. Said, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Isn't that loss of hope? Brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. See, we're supposed to be like a life raft or one of those deals, the little things they throw out to you when you're in the water and you need to float. Life preserver, life saver. See, that's what we're to be. We're not out there to try to change their doctrine or red pill them. We're there to give them some hope. And that's why when you get around people, if you'll just listen for a little bit, pretty well everything they're going through more than likely will start coming out. And then God can give you a road in. Well, I can identify with that. This happened to me. What did you do? Well, the Lord healed me. Would you like to know how? Well, yeah. Well, here's a good time to give them God's medicine. Give them some hope. If you just listen to people, you'll locate where they are, and the Lord will give you a place of reference to start. We're not Bible thumpers, and we're not here to beat the Word of God over people's heads and say, you don't believe like me, and you're not doctrinally correct, or whatever the case may be. There's been that kind around for years. That's why nobody wants to go to church anymore or do anything, because they don't see any power there. They just see what these people are saying. But who are you going to follow? Somebody that has words to back it up, or signs to back it up, or can tell them, well, God did this for me, He'll do it for you. I went to a garage sale one time years ago when I was doing all of that. And I was listening to these ladies talk, and it was just so heart-wrenching. This lady was going through her third bout of cancer. And she's sitting there talking to somebody. She said, but the Lord just put it on me. He has taught me so much through this and all this stuff. And I was just sitting there grieving, Lord, that's the saddest thing I've ever heard in my life. And she went in the house. Her sister was standing there, and I went over there, and I handed her God's medicine. I said, would you see that your sister gets this? And said, would you tell her that cancer is not from God? He doesn't use it to teach his children things. I said, it's of the devil. And I just walked off. I hope that she took it. I hope something came out of it. But it was like, it was sad. It was just so sad. But you know what? You come across people all the time with these sad, sad stories and all this stuff going on. But you have hope in you for them. Let's look at some scriptures on hope. This is Romans 4, which I already kind of said a little bit about, but we're going to read it. This is Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I made thee the father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope. All hope is lost. No, it isn't. That he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So Father Abraham is our example. Sometimes I think, you know, Moses was so mighty and powerful at age 40, full of himself, but God didn't even call him into ministry till he was 80. Sometimes I think, Lord, it sure would have been easier if he was younger. But you know what? He can quicken your mortal body. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he should quicken your mortal body by a Spirit that dwells in you. Okay, Colossians. There's a lot of scriptures. I was amazed at the scriptures on just that one word, hope. This is Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's a bunch of them, so I'll get with this. Is 1 Thessalonians 5:8, the next one. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. You know what salvation is? Soundness, wholeness, preservation, safety. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. The hope of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Yeah. All right, 2 Thessalonians 2. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So hope comes through grace, just like anything else that God gives us through grace. All right, Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 3:6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm until the end. Hebrews 6:11-12. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We have a blessed hope. Verses 18 and 19, that by two immutable things in which is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. An anchor for the soul. That's your mind, your will, and the emotions. It anchors you so you don't get off track because your mind can be fickle. All right, 1 Peter 1:21. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. There's that, what I was talking about earlier, about when you come across people. People will identify with something that's real and on their level. They're not going to hear a bunch of religious garbage. The way the Lord has used me over the years has been a blessing. It's taught me many things. It is making disciples. It's not just, you know, you can get someone born again, but Jesus didn't say just go get them born again. He said make disciples. Because you can get born again, but if you don't have any training, any direction, or anything else, it's going to be easy for you maybe to just maybe go by the wayside because you've not had anything to teach you how to walk in this new life. One of the guys I listened to, just kind of news, he has a good source, but he was raised Catholic, and he's read the Bible one time in his whole life, and he's 67 years old. But he's looking at everything else, and he says there's this new book called something with a U, and it means earth. But it's all about, like I said before, a man that was in a coma and come out of a coma and starts stalking all this stuff. And he said it makes the Bible look like just a storybook or a fairy tale. I said, this is so much deeper. And I'm thinking, I can see why you'd say that. If you're 67 years old and you've read the Bible once in your life, you have no clue what you're talking about, man. He's got a lot of people coming on his channel and saying, I'm not going to listen to you anymore because you have discounted God's Word. You know, these are the type of people, if they had somebody to help them, somebody to guide them along the way. I mean, it's kind of like with school. Well, we're going to go send the kid to school, but there's no teacher there. So the kid sits there for 12 years and doesn't learn a thing. Comes out an idiot. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Doesn't know how to do anything. This is kind of the way we have done as far as people getting born again. They need someone to instruct them. How are they going to learn if they don't have somebody to teach them? We're all teachers, whether you believe it or not. Just your life can be a teacher to somebody else. One lady I ministered to for a while, it didn't last for very long. She'd had a brother that had died early, like 40. And she was just very, very tore up. And I was able to talk to her because of what we'd experienced with our son. So she said, then you know what I'm talking about then, right? Yes, I do. You can identify with me. Yes, I can. So they're going to listen to somebody like that over then, well, here, take this track. And, you know, I'm not saying anything against that. Great for whoever does that. But that one-on-one sure does make a difference. It did for us, this lady I'm talking about that taught us. We asked her everything. We went to her for everything because we were just babies. We were physically babies and we were spiritually, for sure, babies. And she helped us. She helped grow us up some. I'm just so sad for her end because she sowed such good seed. And I'm so glad that Brother Hagin made us see that if you're wrong in your head, you're messed up in your head, and you kill yourself, you're not going to hell. See, that kind of thing, that comforted. We had another lady I worked with in Birthright. She had a daughter that she killed herself sometime during the night. They found her dead. And I remember comforting her with those words. See, people are messed up in their mind. Just because they're not acting the way they should sometimes doesn't necessarily mean they're not going to heaven. They could be born again, but they've just never had anybody to help them along the way. It doesn't just come naturally. Now, if they get in the Word, maybe. Okay. Here is a thought was kind of interesting here. This is by a man named Martin O.J.I. I don't even know how you say it. I'm not gonna. But I was looking up just some references on the word hope, and this was good what he had to say. He said, 7 examples of hope in the Bible for when believing gets hard. We're going to look at those. The first one is Romans 4:17. Whenever it says Abraham believed in hope against hope, that what God said to him he would do. So hope believes anyway. Hope causes you to believe anyway, whether or not you see anything. Like Sarah at 90. Yeah, sure. But it happened. All right, 1 Samuel 1. Verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. Now Hannah, she was married to a very kind, understanding man, and he had another wife, and the other wife was bearing children, and Hannah was barren, and so she taunted Hannah, and Hannah was in grief, and she was crying. She's in the temple. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And this was the prophet Samuel. And there shall no razor come upon his head. And it shall come to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken thitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. So what does faith do? Or hope, not faith, hope. It caused her to give up the resentment, and she had a promise to look to whenever that other woman taunted her or whatever she did to her. All right. All right. The next one's Esther. Four. 4:13. This is when Esther was standing in the gap for her nation. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews." You know, Mordecai, he was gunning for the Jews. "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." So what is this one saying here? Hope has friends. Hope has friends. All right, Psalms 38:15. Godly counsel. "For in thee, O Lord, do I hope, thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God." So, what does hope do? It expects an answer. It expects an answer. All right, now go to Mark. Mark chapter 25. It's not a Mark 25. I'm telling you. Here we go again. Maybe it's Mark 5. Well, let's look at Mark 5. Oh, man. I need to quit typing so fast. All right. Let me look here just a minute. Nope, let me look at Matthew 5. Well, it's not that. I think this was about the woman that had the issue of blood.
That's Mark chapter 5.
Okay. Then okay. 25. "A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things and many physicians, had spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." So what does hope do? It never stops believing. Hope never stops believing. Okay, now Matthew 20. All right, 29. "And they departed from Jericho. A great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.' And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace, but they cried out the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.' And Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What will ye that I shall do unto you?' And they said to him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." Hope is louder than the crowd. All right, Judges. 6. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that it pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this fallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Hope hears God. So he already had a promise. God had already done it. There was one I think I left out. Let me look at it here. There was one that I wanted to read to y'all. I think I didn't get it down here. All right, Luke 24. You know, Jesus, he spent a lot of his time telling them what was going to happen. Kind of like we are now. We're hearing about, this is just a movie. All this has happened, and all these things are going to happen, and all this good stuff is going to all be good. But we're in the in-between. Because we don't see a lot, then you can kind of get to where you're kind of wavering maybe in your hope. But this is, Jesus tried to tell the disciples. He laid it out before them. This is 24:1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spies which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. It came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Now the fake news came out, you know, that the body was stolen away, you know, saying the Son of Man must be delivered. The angels told him he's not here. Delivered into the hands of sinful men to be crucified, and the third day rise again. They remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. Why would it be? The angels spoke to them. Jesus told them. And they believed them not. In fact, I heard one account say they actually made fun of them. Ha! Conspiracy theorist. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was to come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about threescore furlongs. They talked together of all these things which had happened, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But he trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished while we were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which had said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Somebody we know said the Lord showed him that it was the nail scars and holes in his hands or wrist or whatever. Was how they realized who he was. See, they had completely given up hope. They was all down in the mouth. Even with the women seeing the angels and the angels talking to them, they believed the fake news. Well, somebody stole his body away. The deep state, you know, they wanted to contrive this story so no one would believe that he was actually raised from the dead. He was, you know, going to raise from the dead. That so they'd believe the lie. Hopeless. Well, we hoped he was the one who was going to deliver us. Well, he told you who you were, who he was. Even Peter had the revelation. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. But because of the circumstances, all hope was lost until Jesus came. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and they that were with him, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. See, he's the hope they've been waiting for at that time for 4,000 years. And you're witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So, 50 days later, filled with the Holy Ghost, preaching the blessed hope. So I want to encourage you today, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Focus on that hope. Let me read the first scripture I read to you. This is Romans 15:13. All hope is not lost. Now the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace of believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God's promised all of y'all, everyone listening to my voice or will listen to my voice, God has promised all of us things. Don't let go of that. Hold on to it with all your might, because it'll come to pass. Just like he said to them, he said it to us. And what he did for them, he's done for us.